Good afternoon. This is The Art of Jazz. I'm Ken Wiley. I'm going to start with a piano roll, and I mentioned this before. When I do that, I have a player piano, and I get to hook up an external mic and do all that stuff, and the sound you hear is the motor that's turning the mechanism. I haven't been brave enough to take that off and just pump it with my own feet, but nevertheless. This is from the Jam Piano Roll people, and they're alive and well. I recommend that you look them up on the web if you want to, because they're selling piano rolls, and done beautifully by John Farrell and his friends. And he will take, as in this example, an early roll or recording of Donald Lambert, and then play it and make it into a roll for you. It's James P. Johnson's If I Could Be With You 1 Hour Tonight. Donald Lambert originally recorded it, and Farrell made it into the role in 2004. And so here it is. If I Could Be With You 1 Hour Tonight, as created by the Jam Piano Roll people of James B. Johnson's composition, and Donald Lambert's rendition of it, and that just issued by them, 2004. Mercy, 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 a composition by Joe Zawinul, pianist, and you might remember with his time with Cannonball Adderley. We're going to hear first Count Basie's rendition of it in August 1967. Mercy, Mercy, Mercy in two different places, a composition by Joe Zawinul. First Count Basie in 1967, and then Cannonball Adderley in a session other than the classic one. I thought I'd bring this one from recording down in Berkeley, California, 1975 for Fantasy Records. Cannonball and his brother Nat playing cornet, Cannonball on alto, Mike Wolf on the keyboards, Walter Booker, string bass, and Roy McCurdy playing the drums. I brought some classic Cannonball. We're going to hear that next. But first, let me tell you that you're listening to 88.5 KPLU, NPR News, and all that jazz. And support for KPLU comes from you and... Cannonball Adderley, his alto saxophone, and his band. 1958 for Riverside Records. And Minority, written by saxophonist G.G. Kreiss. I'm going to stay with that band, but first I want to tell you who's in it besides Adderley. Richard Allen Mitchell from Miami is playing trumpet. He's known in the jazz community as Blue Mitchell. Bill Evans on the piano, Sam Jones on bass, and Philly Joe Jones on the drums. Here's one Adderley wrote. It's a ballad, Beauty, features him on his alto. It's called Straight Life.
Thank you.
Cannonball Adderley and a composition by him called Straight Life. Adderley on alto saxophone, Blue Mitchell trumpet, Bill Evans at the piano, Sam Jones bass, and Philly Joe Jones on the drums for Riverside Records, July 1958. You're listening to 88.5 KPLU NPR News and all that jazz, and support for KPLU comes from you and... I'm going to go to 1940 now in Chicago. Ellington's band was there to record for Victor. This, written by Ellington, is called Blue Goose. It sort of went by the way, wasn't talked about very much. What's interesting here is that it has Johnny Hodges, who normally played alto in the band, playing soprano saxophone. Ben Webster's passing... four measures or so, I think, from one section to another. We all hoped that he would continue to solo, however he didn't. And he introduced Lawrence Brown, who would come in on his trombone, and then Hodges out again. Here's Ellington in Chicago, May 1940, and Blue Goose. Getting a little bit there in the end. Ellington's band in 1940 in Chicago doing his composition Blue Goose with Johnny Hodges on soprano saxophone. I forgot to mention Harry Carney's baritone, Ben Webster, Lawrence Brown. All for Victor, May 1940. Up next is Ted Lewis, 1929, vocalist and clarinetist. Way of describing him would be he's sort of a jazz Professor Irwin Corey. If you remember Irwin Corey, he was the double talk master who came out in tuxedo and tennis shoes and went on and on, and it sounded just perfectly plausible. And there are many stories about him. But Ted Lewis had a band, made lots of money, came out in his tuxedo and top hat, played his clarinet, and sang. And the society loved him and paid big money for that. And he gave his street friends, the guys that were out there, the artists, who were scuffling and trying to make ends meet, and he put them in his band. Thank him for that. Here's Ted Lewis, his band, 1929, in Los Angeles, and in the land of jazz.
What a battle, what a round, started something buoyant now, you know, when we play the blues. Music masters called us mad. They said our jazz was worse than bad. I'll say, but we changed their view. Now you know when the music men would run away when they heard us play syncopation in the land of jazz. And like as not, it got so hot. It made them change when they found the strange fascination, yes sir, that a jazz band has. That rat-tat-tat on the drum and the hum of a new strain just knocked them flat, made them yell, and they fell for a blue strain. Some refrain, east is east, west is west, the world confessed that when they found the best inspiration in the land of jazz. You know, they pounded us with tons of chauffeurs and with hits from Liszt, booming bits of Wagner. No man thought we could resist. But their big guns seemed to totter when we stole their stuff. Why, we shot it at them hot and then hotter. Oh boy, we made it tough. And we mastered them with syncopation, mastered them with brain, till we had each hostile nation captured with our strain. And now they're dancing to our rhythm, each old highbrow has melodies that is taken with us from the land of jazz. That rat has attacked on the drum and the hum of a new strain just knocked them flat, made them yell how they fell for a blue strain. Some refrain, east is east, and west is west, the world confessed that they found the best inspiration in the land of jazz.
The cymbal crash, all of that. Ted Lewis, marvelous stuff, 1929 for Columbia, in the land of jazz. You're listening to The Art of Jazz. I'm Ken Wiley, and this is 88.5 KPLU, NPR News, and all that jazz. And support for KPLU comes from you and
Western Washington University, where teachers can earn a supporting endorsement in special education in Everett. Evening classes are held at the Everett Station. You can learn more at 360-650-7505 and at extendeded.wwu.edu.
pet me, honey, baby me. You know you get me when you give me that affectionate talk. Like darling, dearie, precious, pretty, I could go for itty bitty, baby me. Because I love it when you baby me. The beauty of it is that I love you, and you love me too. So baby, won't you baby me? Thank you.
say goodbye, I mean goodbye, and I don't mean hello. When I close my door, I shut my door, and I don't open up no more. When I say goodbye, I mean goodbye, and I don't mean so long. And if you think I'm fooling, brother, you are oh so wrong. There are plenty of other fishes swimming in the sea. There are plenty of other dishes all cooked up for me. When I say I'm through, I mean I'm through, and I don't mean pretend. And that is all, no curtain call, I mean this is the end. Other dishes all cooked up for me. When I say I'm through, I mean I'm through, and I don't mean pretend. And that is all, no curtain call, I mean this is the end. When I say goodbye to you, my friend.
A set of three there for you, starting off with Glenn Miller and his orchestra, 1939 for Bluebird Records. One called Baby Me, an arrangement by Eddie Durham for vocalist Kay Starr. Nice trumpet work in there, by the way, by Clyde Hurley and tenor saxophonist Tex Beneke. Reinhard Svensson from Stockholm in 1950 for New Jazz 78 Records did Isom Jones on the Alamo. And Martha Davis, 1948 for Jewel Records, her piano, and her singing in Hollywood, When I Say Goodbye, written by Moe Jaffe. Glenn Miller, Reinhold Svensson, and Martha Davis. Benny Goodman now, 1940, The Moon Won't Talk by Charles Hathaway. This gives Helen Forrest a chance to sing. And the arrangement, a brilliant arrangement by Eddie Sauter. Benny Goodman, Helen Forrest, Eddie Sauter for Columbia, 1940.
Thank you.
but the moon won't talk. I knew that the silly old moon saw that midnight walk. I'm mad at the moon, 'cause the moon won't talk. I've lost my lonely heart. I fell asleep, and when I wakened with a start, he tossed my foolish world apart. I'm through, I'll have nothing to do with that moonlight walk. I hate the moon, because the moon won't talk.
The Moon Won't Talk, Benny Goodman, his clarinet, his band in Los Angeles, 1940. Helen Forrest singing for you, Eddie Sauter's arrangement. And different kinds of problems when you're creating something as a backdrop, underpinning, or whatever you want to call it, for someone else. And it's what do you do to assist someone, make them better, not you. And Sauter certainly does that. Benny Goodman. The Moon Won't Talk, written by Charles Hathaway. I'd like to chase a Sigmund Romberg, Oscar Hammerstein II composition called Lover Come Back to Me. It was, if I remember correctly, it was from the operetta The New Moon sometime about, I think, 1928 in there. Sigmund Romberg and Oscar Hammerstein II will be performed by Oscar Peterson and Ray Brown in 1950, early on for him. Norman Granz had a hand in this for Mercury Records. And then, so we can hear Oscar Hammerstein II's lyric, Claire Austin's going to come in and sing it for you in 1956. Two offerings, chasing the tune, Lover, Come Back to Me. Thank you.
went away, I left you. We broke the ties that bind. I wanted to forget you and leave the past behind. Still, the magic of the night I met you seems to stay forever in my mind. The sky was blue and high above. The moon was new and so was love. This eager heart of mine was singing, lover, where can you be? You came at last, love had its day. That day is past, you've gone away. This aching heart of mine is singing, lover, come back to me. When I remember every little thing you used to do, I'm so lonely. Every road I walk along, I've walked along with you. No wonder I am lonely. The sky is blue, the night is cold, the moon is new, but love is old. And while I'm waiting here, this heart of mine is singing, lover, come back to me.
Chasing that tune, Lover Come Back to Me, written by Sigmund Rongberg for his operetta The New Moon, and the lyric by Oscar Hammerstein II. Oscar Peterson at the piano and Ray Brown bass in 1950 for Mercury Records performed it. And then in Los Angeles, 1956 for Contemporary Long Playing Records, Claire Austin sang it for you with the verse and the chorus. And backing her, Bob Scobie, trumpet, Barney Kessel guitar, Stan Reitzman on the piano, Morty Korb bass, and Shelley Mann on the drums. Two versions of Lover Come Back to Me. This is 88.5 KPLU, Tacoma, Seattle, NPR News and All That Jazz, a service of Pacific Lutheran University. This program is The Art of Jazz. I'm Ken Wiley. something for the festival of Christmas now. I brought the two takes that we know about of Jingle Bells done by Fats Waller in Chicago, 1936. The first will be no vocal. The second will be with vocal. Fats Waller and his rhythm for Victor Records, which means Herman Autry on trumpet, Gene Cedric clarinet, and tenor Al Casey on guitar, Chuck Turner bass, and Slick Jones on the drums. And interestingly enough, I was talking to some friends about this. Take a guess in your mind about what year Jingle Bells was written. Just take a moment to kind of ponder then. And the answer is 1857. It was written by J.S. Pierpont in 1857. And here's Fats Waller in Chicago, 1936. Thank you.
What's the matter with him? The jingle bells got him. They're jingling all the way. Look at that. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Look at that. Jingle, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bells, or more accurately, swinging them jingle bells. Fats Waller, the no vocal and the vocal. Chicago, November 1936, for Victor. What's the matter with him? The jingle bells got him. No doubt about that. Equally fanciful is Pete Rugolo, 1954 for Columbia, and his version of Jingle Bells Mambo.
Yeah.
Pete Rugolo and his orchestra in Los Angeles, April 1954 for Columbia, and his Jingle Bells Mambo. The trumpet work, I think I was just listening to it, the trumpet players in that band, if I remember, is Pete Condoli or Buddy Childers soloing, and I believe it was Bob Cooper on tenor saxophone, maybe Jimmy Giuffre. Pete Rugolo's orchestra, Jingle Bells Mambo. You're listening to 88.5 KPLU, NPR News, and all that jazz, and support for KPLU comes from you and...
After you've gone, left me crying. After you've gone, there's no denial. You'll feel blue, you'll feel sad. You'll miss the dearest pal you ever had. There'll come a time, now don't forget it. There'll come a time when you'll regret it. Someday, when you grow lonely, your heart will break like mine and you'll want me only. After you've gone away.
Set of four, the first two, the Benny Goodman Trio in Chicago, April 1936, More Than You Know, written by Vincent Newmans, and Nobody's Sweetheart by pianist Elmer Schobel and Joe Myers. And the trio, Benny Goodman clarinet, Teddy Wilson piano, and Gene Krupa on the drums. Then Paul Whiteman's 1929 orchestra and their version of Nobody's Sweetheart with a beautiful arrangement by Lenny Hayden, featuring on clarinet Izzy Freeman, trumpet Andy Sechrest, and Frankie Trumbauer on C melody. Saxophone, and then Whiteman's band did After You've Gone by Henry Kramer and John Layton, and a William Grant Still arrangement for the orchestra, with Bill Ranks trombone and Sechrest trumpet, and Bing Crosby singing for you, and Joe Venuti and Eddie Lang, respectively, violin and guitar doing their turn. Benny Goodman Trio and Paul Whiteman's Orchestra. Right here on 88.5 KPLU, NPR News and All That Jazz, and support for KPLU comes from you and
let me sigh, like to find a gal for more than just a pal, with lots of personality. A gal who's fancy free with good security, that's the gal for me. A gal to be my spouse, who's handy round the house, whose loving keeps me up a tree. A gal who call my bluff and who really knows her stuff, that's the gal for me. She don't have to be such a cutie, no, that don't matter at all, as long as she's ready, willing and able to answer when I call. A gal who's been around and wants to settle down and will do most anything for me. And if she'll understand what it takes to hold a man, that's the one for me.
I'd like to find a guy with love light in his eye and lots of personality. A guy who's fancy free with good security, that's the man for me. A man and not a mouse, that's handy round the house, who's loving and keeps me up a tree. A guy who's not too rough and who really knows his stuff, that's the man for me. Now he don't have to be tall and handsome, that don't matter at all, as long as he's ready, willing and able to answer when I call. If someone knows a man who'll fit right in my plan, a real gone easy loving man, I hope he's in the know and wants me and not my dough. That's the one for me.
I don't have to be tall and handsome,
that don't matter at all,
as long as I'm ready, willing and able
to answer when I call.
We both have looked around and want to settle down. We know we really do agree, and we understand what it takes to hold a man. That's the one for, that's the one for, that's the one for me.
What fun. A couple of them for you there. Helen Humes singing for you from Los Angeles, 1945. Blue Prelude, written by Gordon Jenkins and Joe Bishop. The Bill Doggett Octet behind her with Wild Bill Moore on tenor saxophone. Then, 1951, Frankie Lane and Joe Stafford and Harvey Brooks and Elizabeth Walsh's That's the One for Me. This is The Art of Jazz. I'm Ken Wiley, and happy to be with you on Sunday afternoons between 3 and 6. Let's go to L.A. 1929. This is Jesse Stafford's band. It came out of an earlier band led by Herb Weedolf. He had died in an accident, car accident, in May of 1928. Stafford took over, who had been playing trombone with Weedolf's band. And several of us, my friends who were involved in figuring out who played when, where, how, would love to find out who did the arrangements on these bands, these cuts by Jesse Stafford. They're wonderful. The composition is The Woman in the Shoe. Remember the was a nursery rhyme? There was an old woman lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. And The Woman in the Shoe was written by Nacio Herb Brown and Arthur Freed. Nacio Herb Brown and Gene Rose do the piano duet here, and here is the marvelous arrangements of Jesse Stafford's orchestra in L.A., 1929, The Woman in the Shoe. Thank you.
a family that always kept her life in a jamboree. She couldn't keep them all looking misty. There were just 53. She had to feed them all every single day, and there were many times when she couldn't stay. She surely felt blue in a broken down shoe. She really didn't know just what to do. One day a merry prince went to family and saw the poor old girl didn't have a thing. He raised a magic wand and from an empty pond made a gay place of a great place. The shoe was filled with love and merry laughter, and everyone was happy ever after. Instead of feeling blue, just a big smile grew on the happy old woman in the shoe. Thank you.
went down to St. James Infirmary. Saw my baby there, stretched out on the long white table. So sweet, so cold, so fair. Let her go, God bless her. Wherever she may be, she can look this wide world over. She'll never find a sweet man like me. When I die, I want you to dress me in straight leg shoes, box back coat, and a stetson hat. Put a $20 gold piece on my watch chain, so the boys will know that I died standing pat.
For you, Jesse Stafford's band in Los Angeles, 1929, and The Woman in the Shoe. Thelonious Monk for Blue Note 78, 1952, and Hornin' In, written by Monk, with Kenny Dorham, Lou Donaldson, Lucky Thompson, Nelson Boyd, and Max Roach assisting, and Louis Armstrong and his Savoy Ballroom 5 in Chicago, 1928, for OK Records, doing St. James Infirmary, written by Joe Primrose. Louis Armstrong, trumpet and vocal. All right. You're listening to 88.5 KPLU, NPR News, and all that jazz. And support for KPLU comes from you and... McCoy Tyner at the piano for you, 1964 for Impulse Records. Jimmy Garrison bass and Elvin Jones on drums. And Ellington's Mr. Gentle and Mr. Cool. I'm going to continue with that trio. They're going to do Juan Tiso and Ellington's Gypsy Without a Song. And then I will go directly to the original Brunswick 78 of Ellington's band in 1938. And their version of Gypsy Without a Song. Thank you. two versions of Juan Tiesel's composition, Gypsy Without a Song. First, the McCoy-Tyner Trio with Jimmy Garrison bass and Alvin Jones on drums, 1964 for Impulse, excuse me. And then for Brunswick in June 1938, Ellington's version, featuring Lawrence Brown's trombone, Cootie Williams on trumpet, and Johnny Hodges, alto saxophone. This is 88.5 KPLU, Tacoma, Seattle, NPR News and All That Jazz, a service of Pacific Lutheran University. Here's the Clarinet Summit, done at the Public Theater, 1982, for India Navigation Long Playing Records. Excuse me. What we will hear, first of all, the first speaker is clarinetist John Carter. And he will introduce David Murray and Alvin Batiste. And then Batiste will talk about Jimmy Hamilton, who comes in and talks about Dizzy Gillespie's composition, Groovin' High, which is based on an older composition called Whispering. Here, from 1983 at the Public Theater in New York City, Clarinet Summit.
Thank you very much. We're very happy to be here, and we're very happy to have you come and listen to our music. It's a very special night for us because this group represents the grouping of some very interesting people. I would like to introduce, first of all, one of the very fine young bass clarinetists of our time, resident of New York City, and a person whom I'm sure many of you know, Mr. David Murray. And for many years I knew of Alvin Batiste, but it was just my real good fortune to meet him this year, and we become old friends. And I'd like for you to meet a man who is the heir apparent to the great New Orleans clarinet legacy, Mr. Alvin Batiste.
Thank you, John. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight is really very special to me. Words can't really express just what this means to my own enjoyment of living and what it represents in terms of having an opportunity to share music with you. I'm talking about having the opportunity to play with a childhood idol. Gentleman who I'm going to introduce used to be in New Orleans from time to time, maybe twice or three times a year, with the Ellington Band. And they performed usually at my high school. And every time that they came, I was always there waiting to see him come in and carry his instrument in and watch him warm up and play his scales and stuff. And then I never dreamed that I'd have an opportunity to actually play with the cat. So I'd like to introduce to you a special friend and a very inspiring master of the clarinet, Jimmy Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Alvin Batiste and Jack Carter and Mr. David here. We are very happy to be able to perform with these young men because I think they're fantastic players. I don't know how they got me all the way out of the Virgin Islands back to New York for something like this. If they had told me what was happening, I probably would have been afraid to come. But they got me here, and it's really been wonderful. I haven't been used to playing so much as I've played in the past 4 days. I believe I played in the past 4 days as much as I played in the Virgin Islands for the past 13 years. But I'm very happy and indebted to these young men for getting me out here and getting me into the thick of everything again. And maybe it can happen again sometime. They're going to cause me to go back and try to do some wood sitting. Thank you. We thought we'd like to play a little tribute to Dizzy Gillespie, whom I know very well. We played in bands long before we got to New York. So I thought I'd score out a few bars of something that Dizzy was very famous for. I hardly remember the title of it, I just know the song. Thank you.
There you go. Clarinet Summit began that set from the Public Theater in New York, 1983, on India Navigation Records. And the clarinetists involved are in Groovin' High and Whispering. John Carter, David Murray, Alvin Batiste, and Jimmy Hamilton. Excuse me. Booker Irvin, 1963, on his tenor sax for the prestige album The Freedom Book. Booker playing, as I said, tenor. Jackie Byard on piano, Richard Davis bass, and Alan Dawson on the drums. And the composition by Irvin is called Al's Inn, meaning Dawson, the drummer. We heard some fine work by him there. Clarinet Summit, followed by Booker Irvin. This is The Art of Jazz. I'm Ken Wiley, and you're listening to 88.5 KPLU NPR News and All That Jazz. And support for KPLU comes from you and... And here is Dakota Staton.
Pardon me, but I just got the news. He told me it's over, and it breaks my heart to lose. But the show must go on, the show must go on, so they tell me. Here I stand, here's my cue to begin, but who feels like singing in the mood that I'm in? Still the show must go on, the show must go on, and I'll carry on somehow. Oh, the setting's perfect, and the music is right. I can see it's going to be a tough show tonight. I'll sing about the heartaches a broken heart can be, but they mustn't know it's just happened to me. So dim the lights, and I'll turn on all my charms. I'll try to imagine that you're still in my arms. But the show must go on, the show.
my goodness, what did we hear? Well, we heard Dakota Staton at the Storyville Club in Boston, 1961 for Capitol Records, doing The Show Must Go On. And then the Thad Jones Mel Lewis Band, 1970 for Blue Note Records. That's the Consummation LP. And the Thad Jones arrangement and composition called Fingers, featuring Benny Powell on trombone, Roland Hanna at the piano, Danny Moore on trumpet, Billy Harper tenor, and Richard Davis on drums. And what a wonderful thing it was, that chase between Richard Davis and Roland Hanna. Thad Jones, Mel Lewis, and before that, Dakota Staton. You're listening to 88.5 KPLU, NPR News and all that jazz, and support for KPLU comes from you and... Earlier in the program, I did some Christmas cheer for you, and I'd like to do a little bit more right now.
Millions of stockings to fill on Christmas Day. You'd better write your letter now and mail it right away, because he's getting ready his reindeer and his sleigh. You better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. You when you're sleeping, he knows when you're away. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out, you better not cry, better not shout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
You gotta shout and you gotta swing out. Boys with their horns, little toy drums, swinging right out like rummy dum dum, 'cause Santa Claus is coming to town. Curly-haired gals are cuddling cool, winking their eyes, they're flirting with you, 'cause Santa Claus is coming to town. Now the dancing kids in dance land will have their jubilee. They'll all start a-trucking right around that Christmas tree. So you better watch out, better not cry, better swing out, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Thank you.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town, written in 1934 by J. Fred Coots and Haven Gillespie, and played first in this set by Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra in 1935 with Paul Weston's arrangement and Cliff Weston, who played trumpet in the band, and Edith Wright singing for you. Trumpet work by Sterling Bowes and nice piano in there by Paul Mitchell. And then unaccompanied piano, Bill Evans in 1963 of Santa Claus is Coming to Town for his Riverside long playing record date. Tommy Dorsey and Bill Evans. You're listening to 88.5 KPLU NPR News and All That Jazz, and support for KPLU comes from you. And today is composer, arranger, pianist, valve trombonist Bob Brookmeyer's birthday. He was born this day in Kansas City, 1929. And from Los Angeles in December 1954 for Clef Records, with Jimmy Rolls on piano, Red Mitchell bass, and Mel Lewis on drums, here he is, What Is There to Stay? Thank you. Happy 75th birthday to Bob Brookmeyer, born this day in Kansas City, 1929. And there, at age 25, December 1954, in Los Angeles for Clef Records, with Jimmy Rolls piano, Red Mitchell bass, and Mal Lewis on drums, we heard "What Is There to Say." Vernon Duke wrote that. "There Will Never Be Another You," Harry Warren wrote that. "And He Ain't Got Rhythm," Irving Berlin. Bobby Brookmeyer, 1954. This is 88.5 KPLU, Tacoma, Seattle, NPR News, and All That Jazz, a service of Pacific Lutheran University. This program has been The Art of Jazz. I'm Ken Wiley, and thanks for being out there. Thank you.